Well, the Green Bay Packers are in the midst of OTAs. We take a break to preview the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection, taking place on Saturday, June 13th at Stadium View Sports Bar in Green Bay. Wayne Sargent will give us the lowdown. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We'll be talking about OTAs. But first, we have a guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Wayne Sargent, who's going to talk to us about the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection taking place in Green Bay.
Expert interview.
Mr. Sargent, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. We'll get into the event in a second here, but before we get into details, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the group that organizes this event?
Sure. Well, myself, for about the last 7 or 8 years, I've kind of gone by the name of the Ultimate Packer Fan. Throughout that time, I mean, we go to all the games, and I've been involved in various fundraising events, all for good cause. And basically, there's a group of us that have gotten together, knowing there was a need for a way to kick off the season for a fan gathering. Years ago, the Packers used to call what was Fan Fest, where they brought a certain amount of players in, and people flocked from all over the country. And it was a great way to for the fans to get together during the off season. So basically myself and a group of other fans, Steve, the owner, Tate, is a huge part of this whole upcoming. And 4 years ago, we launched the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection. Stadium View was very accommodating. They welcomed the idea, thought it'd be great to have a fan gathering. And like I said, now we're in the fourth annual, and it's just a great event.
Yeah, it's nice being taking place at Stadium View. You can see the Lambeau Field right out the window there from where it takes place. But so give me some of the details here on the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection. If I'm a fan, I'm going to go, you know, what's going to happen at the event? I see there's some special food and music available. Give me the details.
All right. Well, what it sums up is the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection. It's held each year for a benefit reason for either a family or need or a great cause. The last couple of years, we held it for the Kiwanis organization for children with autism. This year, we took a little turn to it as the people, they sit next to me at Lambeau Field, and they're both special education teachers. They're diehard Packer fans. They live in Illinois. They've got a little five-year-old boy, Keegan, who was diagnosed with leukemia. So for the next 3 years, they have to make 3 trips a week from Illinois to Children's Hospital for treatment. And we felt that this was a justifiable cause to help this family out. Having said that, that's the cause. The Ultimate Packer Fan Connection itself, Stadium View brings in live music. Johnsonville Brats have donated 1,000 brats this year. The raffle items that came in have been overwhelming this year, so there's plenty of raffle items. There's silent auction items. We've got some great players coming in, Packer Hall of Fame and NFL Hall of Famer Dave Robinson, Super Bowl I and II champion Bob Long, Chris Jackie, Super Bowl 31 champion. Players from this year, we're going to have Scott Tolzien, Micah Hyde, Dave Bakakatari, and many, many more. There's been a lot of players that have shown great interest in it, but of course, you know, until the day comes, we're really not going to know. But plenty of food, beverage, live music, and most of all, great fans.
Very cool, very cool. Now there's going to be, you mentioned both kind of silent and live auctions. Can you tell us about some of these different items and whether it's silent, whether it's live, what's going to happen there?
I've got to be honest with you, we haven't determined yet what auctions are going to be
Okay.
live, what are going to be silent. Donations are coming in daily. We've probably got probably 75 raffle items. We've got some big dollar items, 48-inch signed canvas by Charles Woodson. We've got a 3-foot Eddie Lacy bobblehead. Jerry Kramer's got a beautiful inscribed jersey with all his stats on it that he's donated. The list goes on and on. There's hotel stays. There's you know, meal plans. It's countless, some of the items we have. Some are very unique. One gentleman donated a early 1960s Packer lamp with the old style helmet with the shade, which is very rare. So just some real nice stuff, and it's a great variety.
We're talking to Wayne Sargent here on Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning. The event takes place this upcoming Saturday, June 13th at Stadium View Sports Bar. Wayne, what have been some of the highlights from this event in the years past? You said it's the fourth annual. How's it gone the first few years?
You know, there's been a lot of surprises, and one being the weather. we still haven't been able to elude this typical Wisconsin.
You can't control that aspect, unfortunately.
No, we can't. But so far each year, we've had one of these typical, you know, Wisconsin 5-minute downpours that, you know, does a little more than ruin a picnic on our day. But last year that happened in Stadium View. Fortunately, we had enough time. They moved us inside, so we overcame that. Some of the great, I mean, we have a lot of surprises. A lot of players just stop in. Most of them are all aware of what's going on. For instance, a couple of years ago, about 5 o'clock, Dwan Harris, Eddie Lacy, Jonathan Franklin, and a few other guys just kind of strolled in and started meandering around the guests, you know, which was huge, and did a lot of, you know, free autographs. We've had Susan Lombardi attend a couple of years, you know, Vince Lombardi's daughter, and she's just a fantastic person. She was supposed to appear this year. Unfortunately, she got called in. She's going to have some emergency back surgery this week, so she had to cancel her plans. But it's, you know, things like that, people you don't expect to come in. This year we've been notified that Jim Schmidt, the mayor of Green Bay, is going to stop by. We've invited Mark Murphy. You never know. It's, you know, fortunately, you know, Friday is the OTAs. Our event is on Saturday. The Green Bay Blizzard plays Saturday night. And Sunday is the Jordy Nelson Celebrity Softball Game. So, you know, all the boys are in town. We just hope for the best. And it's for a great cause.
Very cool. I also love that, yeah, it's you hold it at the Stadium View, which if necessary, you know, you can go inside and be sheltered from the elements. So that's great, too. Where can people go to get more information online about the event?
Okay, well, there's two things I'd like to mention real quick.
Sure.
One is if you go to my website, which is theultimatepackerfan.com, www.theultimatepackerfan.com, there's a voucher you can print out, and it's free. You bring the voucher to the event on that day, and you'll exchange it for a raffle ticket, which will entitle you to win a full-size helmet, Packer helmet, autographed by all the players of that day. Secondly, on Friday night at the Spring Hill Suites, one of our great sponsors, we're offering a first-ever ice-breaking event, and that begins at 7 o'clock. There'll be a few Packer players. It's going to be held in a lobby. Hors d'oeuvres will be offered. There'll be a cash bar, and it's going to be a chance to just have a social gathering with a few of these Packer players, meet and greet, get some photos, what have you. There won't be any autographs that evening, but it will be a chance, like I said, to sit down and talk and listen to some of the great stories. I'll tell you this much right now, that Dave Robinson, who played in Super Bowl I and II, and Bob Long from Super Bowl I and II will both be there. Some of the most fantastic stories you'll ever hear will come from those guys.
Yeah, Hall of Famer Dave Robinson, so that's awesome. That's great. Wayne, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Before I let you go, what are you anticipating out of this 2015 edition of the Green Bay Packers? Do you have a record prediction? Anything you're kind of expecting out of the team this year?
Well, I'm expecting, seriously, a 14-2 record, being the 50th anniversary or the golden anniversary of the Super Bowl it'd be nothing better to capture Super Bowl I and go on and have Super Bowl 50. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good to me. I like it. Wayne, thank you so much for joining us. Wish you all the best of luck with this event, and hopefully we'll send some people your way.
Well, I hope so, and if it's a lot easier, go to www.packerevents.com. That'll bring you right to my website.
Okay, sounds good. Perfect.
Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks a lot, Wayne. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
Wayne Sargent joining us here of theultimatepackerfan.com. Talking to us about the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection taking place once again Saturday, June 13th at Stadium View in Green Bay. Basically put on by the fans for the fans. And, you know, the Packers used to, as he explained, had Fan Fest. It was an annual event for years held inside Lambeau Field, inside the atrium. I know I've actually gone to it in the past. I thought it was a great event. They stopped doing it. I've heard a lot of, you know, scuttlebutt speculation that, you know, it was kind of maybe a little bit of a damper put on it by the professional autograph seekers. You know, there would be so many players appearing, and they would sign autographs, and basically you got a ticket. It would entitle you to one autograph, which I thought was a great way to kind of limit things. And I think you got like one each day. You know, it was a multi-day event, or, you know, 2 days, and you got one autograph one day and one autograph the next, or something like that. Or was it one every few hours? I think that was the way it worked. And you know, I thought that limited it. I'm not really sure. You know, you can sometimes understand these professional autograph seekers. You see them come to training camp and they just have books of cards and photos to be signed. And it really kind of takes away, you know, some of the fun, you know, especially kids who are trying to get autographs as well. I thought the Packers had a decent formula to kind of deal with that. I don't know what else would be at play, why else they would cancel this event, but I'm glad something has stepped up in its place to kind of be that event for the fans. And great at this time of year as OTA is taking place. You know, we have our regular segments on the show, and we'll get to Packers news of the day in the moment. What I wanted to do just for a minute or two here, I publish a weekly Packers Q&A at 24/7 Sports every Friday. The day might change as the year goes along, but for past month or so, it's been on a Friday. So I solicit questions via Twitter mostly about, you know, questions fans want answered about the Green Bay Packers and the team and things like that. And this past week, I was not able to get to all the questions. So I wanted to take one here I got from Salvador Dacqui actually Packer fan from Italy. Was a guest on their podcast just a few weeks ago. But he had a question that I didn't, you know, ran out of room for, basically, with our Packers Q&A, so to speak. And I just want to take a moment here to answer this, and I think it's a very good question, too. And Salvador asks, I really like the it's a passing league approach the Packers seem to have embraced this year when it comes to roster building. Knowing that teams will be in three wide receiver sets or more most of the time, they chose guys that can be valuable to most sub-packages rather than to the base 3-4 defense. I didn't see it coming, but it makes a lot of sense now. Do you agree with this approach? And is Capers once again ahead of the curve here? And that's a very astute point that Salvador makes. I really do think the Packers are trying to be ahead of the curve in this situation, in that they really see the NFL is a passing league, dominated by quarterbacks and wide receivers nowadays. Not to say the running game isn't important, but it just, you know, continually trends more and more towards the pass. and the Packers are trying to find guys who can defend the pass, try to find some of the best defensive backs they can possibly find. And that's what they did when they drafted Demaryius Randle in the first round and Quentin Rollins in the second round, and to an extent, some guys later on, not any more defensive backs. But yes, I you know, the Packers, yes, they're a 3-4 defense, but they're actually, that, like you said, that base 3-4, they're not in the base 3-4 most of the time. They actually are in their sub packages, the nickel, the dime, probably 3/4 of the time, where you have 5 or 6 defensive backs on the field. So you can understand, you, even if you're not one of the starting 2 cornerbacks, you know, you see a lot of playing time if you're in one of those packages, you're in the nickel or the dime. They get a lot of playing time, and you got to be really, really good to stop the pass in the NFL. And, you know, that's one of the secrets to success in today's day and age of the game of football. So, yes, I really do think the Packers are trying to be, ahead of the curve, obviously also reacting to the loss of Tremont Williams and Devon House in free agency. But I think they're really hoping Demaryius Randle can be a cornerback. At the time when the Packers were on the clock during the NFL draft, I thought they would take defensive lineman Malcolm Brown from Texas, who, you know, I still think is going to be a very good player. He ended up going just 2 picks later, number 30 overall, to the New England Patriots. So it's not like he lasted much longer than that. And you know, you still need defensive, even when you're in the nickel and the dime, you still need defensive linemen on the field, at least a few of them. So that's why I thought they would go there, a guy who's, you know, can rush the passer and still stuff the run and things like that. So it surprised me when the Packers went and took Demaryius Randle, and it surprised everybody. There wasn't a person out there that I ever saw talk about, Demaryius Randle playing quarterback. I millions of fans nationwide were surprised from that aspect. So I think, you know, the Packers really took everybody, caught everybody off guard. Maybe other teams perhaps had the same plan, but I mean, everywhere you turn, Demaryius Randle has always played safety. People kind of thought of him as a safety. So the Packers kind of thinking outside the box from that, in that regard. And yeah, like I said, I am far from the only one who was as surprised as that. And I'm sure, you know, people listening to the show were surprised. And, you know, even the draft experts, I look at a lot of, you know, resources online, and I read draft guides. And, if there's somebody out there who talked about Demaryius Randle being a cornerback, I have yet to see it. So, like I said, millions of people caught off guard by that. But it does make sense, as the Packers try to adapt to this passing league and try to build their defense around the secondary and put very good players in the secondary. Even if Demaryius Randle doesn't work out at cornerback, they can always still eventually put him back to safety, We talked about it on the last episode. I think they'll give him a very long leash. You know, you don't close the door on a first round draft pick very quickly. Those guys get the benefit of the doubt longer than anybody else. But I mean, if things don't work out, eventually a year or two down the road, you can move Demaryius Randle to safety, and he still might be very good at that position. So, we'll see how it plays out. So, thanks, Salvador, for the question, and hopefully that kind of answers your answers it in a long-winded sort of way. But as we get to some of the other segments on the show here,
Packers news of the day.
This past weekend, the Lombardi Golf Classic took place on Saturday at North Hills Country Club in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. So kind of in the greater Milwaukee area, the biggest metro, area in the state of Wisconsin. And that took place on Saturday. And according to the social media feeds from the Lombardi Cancer Foundation, Jared Abradaris, the Packers wide receiver, was part of the winning team. So congratulations to Jared Abradaris. But even more so than that, this is the signature event of the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation. They hold many fundraisers throughout the year. They have a food and wine tasting event. I believe that's actually held during the football season. They hold these charity walks and runs. They have all sorts of events, but this was the 45th annual Vince Lombardi Golf Classic, the signature event where I believe they probably raised the most money. And over the years, they've raised more than $16 million for cancer charities and to go to cancer research and things along those lines. So those are the real winners here who get the money raised by this event. So congratulations on another event. There were more than 25 Packers players taking part, both current and former, an event with a connection to Vince Lombardi. Obviously, the Green Bay Packers are very much heavily involved in this. Mason Crosby, the team's kicker, is a chairman for the event. So really great cause here. So that took place over the weekend. And just one more bit of news as well on top of that. We learned yesterday and posted at 247sports.com. You can scroll through our most recent articles to find this. Packers running back Eddie Lacy will appear on Celebrity Family Feud. That will be on Sunday, June 21st. So first we saw earlier this offseason Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers taking part in Celebrity Jeopardy. Now we're going to have Eddie Lacy taking part in Celebrity Family Feud. It's a roster of players from the AFC taking on their counterparts from the AFC. Seeing as the Pro Bowl is no longer goes by that format anymore, maybe this is kind of the way to challenge the AFC versus the NFC. So it'll be fun to watch. That happens actually on Father's Day during the evening, during prime time, I believe. So on Father's Day night, sit down with Dad and take in Eddie Lacy playing a little bit of Celebrity Family Feud on television. So looking forward to that. But next we have
the day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, not a ton going on this particular day, although tonight, Monday evening, former Green Bay Packers Jerry Kramer and Doug Hart will be taking part in an autograph session at Scooter G Sports, and that is located in Appleton, according to the business's website, their most recent signings. Jerry Kramer actually took part in the Lombardi Golf Classic over the weekend, so I'm sure, he's just doing a couple events while he's in town, this being one of them. So if you're interested in that, again, have more information in the Packers calendar post here at 247 Sports. You can go check out some of the details there. But yeah, I think it takes place from 6 to 7 o'clock p.m., obviously Central Time, local time, if you live in the area and interested in getting an autograph from the Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II champions, Jerry Kramer and Doug Hart. So other than that, Packers players have the day off on Monday. OTAs resume again on Tuesday. So the schedule for this week, as usual, as typical here, there's only one day of practice open to the public this week. That will happen on Wednesday. Actually, there is practice on Tuesday. It's just taking place behind closed doors. That'll be inside the Don Hutson Center. Don't head to Green Bay. You're not going to see anything on Tuesday. Wait till Wednesday. That's when practice is this week. So that's kind of what we're looking forward to. Of course, when practice is open, get a lot of information. The media's, you know, players made available to the media, get a lot of feature articles and stories coming out of that. So looking forward to that later this week. OTA practice open to the public. Free admission at Clark Hinkle Practice Field in Green Bay on Wednesday. So that's kind of the day ahead and the long range, the week ahead, so to speak, as well. But that'll do it for this morning's edition of Railbird Central here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us this morning. Thank you to Wayne Sargent for talking to us about the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection taking place once again this Saturday, June 13th at Stadium View Sports Bar in Green Bay. Go check it out. I encourage you to do so and hang out with your fellow Packer fans. But that'll do it for today's show. We have an episode every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and be able to view on demand later in the day, pretty much as soon as the show is over. My call to action, if you have not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. We're closing in on 100 ratings, so really appreciate it when people go and do that. It helps get word out about the show and helps people see that that this is a very quality product, and or at least we hope it is, and hope you'll say the same. Feel free to give any sort of rating you want, but just go do it. Like I said, the more ratings people see, the more they realize, hey, people are listening to this. So do us a solid and do that. Thanks a lot, folks. We'll see you later. We'll see you again on Wednesday, next episode of the show. Until then, I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.